What's up, everybody? This your boy F Major chilling out here in the EUG for real this time. Actually, most of the time I see him in the EUG, I actually am in Eugene. But I also said that when I was in Cottage Grove, so you never knew whether or not I was telling the truth. This time I am. I am coming to you live and in living color from the motherfucking laundromat. See, because the only way I can afford to live by myself is, you know, modern conveniences that most people have, I'm not privy to them. So my spot, I love where I live at. Love it, love it, love it. Can't say enough good things about it. The price is right. I can live by myself, which is its own heaven. It doesn't have a washer and dryer, and it doesn't have a dishwasher. Now, when I was growing up, I had none of these things either, so I don't need them right now. It's not like a must-have situation. I know how to wash motherfucking dishes with my hand, and I live by myself, so it's not like I have that many dishes to wash. But you would be surprised, though, because I have quite a few. I mean, I am a nigga. I'm a bachelor out here trying to survive on my own, and because I am alone now and I have a place where I could cook, because there were roommate situations I've had before where I didn't, for the past 4 years, I haven't been able to cook for myself. Now that I have a place that's mine completely by myself, I'm trying new things. I'm trying different recipes. 3 weeks ago, it was spinach souffle. I make a terrific spinach souffle. I never would have guessed that because I've never tried before. 2 weeks ago, it was tuna casserole. You know, a dish that you can't find in a restaurant anywhere to save your life, but everybody had it as a child, and I felt like some nostalgia, so I had some tuna casserole. It was all right. It wasn't tuna-y enough for me. And then this week, it's beef stroganoff, another one that I rarely see on a restaurant menu. And even if you can get these things on restaurant menus, they still ain't quite the same as cooking it yourself or having somebody do a homemade. There's a certain amount of love that people put in their cooking when they do it from home. And it's the difference between buying a sandwich out of like, you know how they have those cold sandwiches in 7-Eleven and Dairy Mart and Highs and places like that. And you go in there and buy it and it just tastes like a sandwich. But when you make one at home, you make that motherfucker with love. You get what I'm telling to you? You make it and you want to actually enjoy the experience. And that's the difference between cooking at home and buying that shit out. One time I got to see some shit that came from one of them fancy ass restaurants. It was this minestrone soup. It was their famous minestrone soup. And boy, was I surprised when one of the motherfuckers from around the way who lived over where I lived at stole some of that shit because he worked there. So he took like some from the back. And that shit came in bags. And here this whole time, I thought they was making that shit from scratch. You know what I'm saying? Back there cooking the minestrone, making sure it's fresh and shit. That shit came to that restaurant in a bag. So cook for yourselves if you can, people. But that wasn't what I was going to talk about. That was a complete sidebar. I didn't mean to talk about that. What I want to talk to you about is this Trump shit. We're going to get that to that in a minute. I just wanted to say before I get started on Trump being possibly dead now, with the coronavirus, that because I live in Eugene and I live in the Whitaker, I was thinking to myself that people would dress up any kind of way and take their ass outside. But the three places where you're always guaranteed to see a motherfucker that just look out of place, that's got, look like they got costumes on and shit like that, but it's regular there, is Walmart. If you go to Walmart, people will dress any kind of motherfucking way to go to Walmart. I have seen women that are 400 pounds in booty shorts and a fur bustier. I have seen all kinds of shit in Walmart. The other place is the Whitaker. You can be walking down the street on an average day that ends in Y and see some shit that you was like, what the fuck was they thinking when they came out the house this morning? But it's regular here. So most people don't see anything different from what regular people see in a regular place, because here is just so common. But the third place is people, myself included, and this one actually has a reason. People who come to the laundromat, and I understand it. I'm looking at motherfuckers that look all kinds of crazy in this motherfucker. and the shit don't match. And I understand that. It's just like Walmart and it's just like in the whip, but it's more noticeable to me in the laundromat because I know the reason why is because all they clean, the good shit is in that, in them bags and shit that they cleaning and they laundry hampers and all that type of shit they bringing in here. So they wearing a last little bit of clean shit and it looks crazy than a mother. Just go hang out at the laundromat sometime. You'll understand what I'm saying. If you got laundry shit in your house, you won't get it. But if you have to go to the laundromat, just sit in the parking lot for like 2 good hours. It's some really, really, really crazy shit out here. People got clothes. If you could call them clothes. They one man in there. And you can tell he on his last little bit of clean clothes. Because he in there with a big ass hole in his shorts. Where you could see where his dick supposed to be in the underwear. And I'm still waiting for one of them women to see it. And then complain to, because the laundromat I'm at is nice. It's my favorite one. The only thing I don't like about it is that they don't use Tide. This laundromat is so fancy that when you go in there, they give you the detergent. They put the detergent in for you because these machines are special machines. I guess they're hospital grade. And you know when they use shit in the hospital, they have to use special detergent. And so I come here to get my clothes cleaned because I ain't got to pay for the detergent. I can stick my credit card in the motherfucker, you know, and it works. And that's cool. But it's a nice place to do your laundry. In any case, you are listening to The Great Divide. I am Effington Major. And the official weapon of the show is wisdom. And the unofficial sport is drum corps. And I do have an announcement to make before we get started with the regular content, which ain't going to be that long because I ain't got much shit to say about it. The show is going to go through a transformation. It is going to go through a rebranding. I put in my Facebook a question about another podcast I was thinking of launching. And the question was, I'm about to do a new podcast. I'm going to put out a new podcast. This is going to be about XYZ topic. What's good names for it? And somebody came up with a name that was so good that it fits this show better than The Great Divide. And this, the name The Great Divide fits the other show better than the name that's on it right now. So I'm changing names. This show is going to be called something else. And the name The Great Divide for a podcast is going to be the name of the new podcast. But there'll be more details coming out about that here shortly. It's not going to be a long podcast, but it's going to be something that's fun. I get on this microphone and I talk about all this serious shit and racism and sexism and ageism and ableism and homophobia and transphobia and all this type of bullshit all the time, politics. And that's not what I set out to do when I started the podcast. It was supposed to be fun, me telling jokes and talking about the shit that's happening during the day and all that type of stuff. And my life experience, people like to listen to the show because I'm not from here. I'm not from the Pacific Northwest. I'm from North Carolina. Sometimes you can hear it in my voice like right now. I could talk like it if I want to, but I'm just choosing not to because this ain't the place for all that. Okay. Now, because I've lived here for so long, I could turn it on and off. When I go back home to visit North Carolina and I come back, you can't even understand what the fuck I'm saying. It be that ingrained into me. But anyway, on with the show. We, as a country, have not had a president since 2016. And I think maybe 4 or 5 days ago, they found out that the motherfucker has COVID-19. After almost a year of him talking about it was a hoax and him saying the shit was going to go away in a couple of days and only 15 people got it and it's going to go away by Easter. Remember that shit? It's closer to next Easter than it is to the one that he said that shit about. We closer to Easter 2021 than we were to Easter 2020, and the shit has already murdered, I think it's 212,000 people, just Americans, so far. There's upwards of 8 million people around the globe that got it. Not necessarily died. I know that many ain't died. I hope that many haven't died. But I believe the number is around 8 million that tests positive, that has it right now. And that's all the countries and stuff. You can go to the Johns Hopkins webpage, and they have a whole, out of all the COVID-19 webpages that I've seen that's covering it case by case, Johns Hopkins is the best. Johns Hopkins is one of the, if I'm going to take medical advice from anybody, it's going to be either the NIH or there's another one, either the National Institute of Health out in Bethesda, Maryland. That's normally where I go when I want some medical advice. I would used to say the CDC, but not anymore. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the CDC. I don't trust them anymore. That's for sure. And NIH, I'm not entirely sure that it is a government organization. It might be, but their name has not come up in this mess about what's going on with COVID. So whenever I'm looking up information, I look at the NIH. Johns Hopkins is another one that I kind of trust. And I only say kind of because they have a history, even though I shouldn't be judging them by history. They have a history of doing, experiments. It's hard to explain without reading the book Medical Apartheid by, God, what is her name? I can't remember what her name is, but there's a book called Medical Apartheid that documents all of the experiments that have been done on black folks in this country against our will since the inception of the country. It goes all the way back to slavery, and it's up to today. And Johns Hopkins is in there for an experiment. In any case, so that's why I say kinda. Like, I wouldn't go to Johns Hopkins for any type of treatment, but as far as the information that they put out about various diseases and remedies and cures and all that type of shit, I do believe that. And if you want me to be honest, I believe, this is just my personal opinion, something that a lot of people are not talking about as far as COVID is concerned, is that the wrong people are looking for a cure. They got Procter and Gamble and Johnson and Johnson and these motherfuckers looking for a cure. Have you noticed that everybody who's looking for a cure for COVID-19 is a for-profit business? Why the fuck ain't we employing our universities, our research institutions? You know what I'm saying? I want to hear NIH is looking for a motherfucking cure. I want to hear whatever National Health Service, the NHS over in Great Britain, I want to hear that they're doing it. Fuck a Johnson & Johnson. Fuck Procter & Gamble, because all they want is money behind the shit. Fuck that. In any case, so this motherfucker got it, lied about it, went and did a debate with the shit. He went and did a debate with the shit. He had it when he did the debate, but he didn't get diagnosed with it until the following day, and there was this big shit in the Rose Garden. Now they like, think it's either 18 or 19 different Republicans that got the shit from fucking around with his monkey ass out there in the Rose Garden talking about that bitch that's supposed to be the new Supreme Court justice. All of them motherfuckers got it. Chris Christie got it. Tom Tillis got it. Mike Lee, Republican senator, he got it. All of these niggas got it. I guarantee you one thing, one of them motherfuckers is going to die. At least one of them people are going to die. There's too many of them that got it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to think about that as well. Because they got government universal health care, our Senate and our House of Representatives and our legislators and the Supreme Court and the executive, all of these niggas got universal health care. They're going to get the best health care you can get. Okay? Now, if it was my black ass or your white ass or whatever you is listening to this show, if it was you, you better be lucky you can get a motherfucking test. That's on we ain't even talking about the treatment. We just talking about the test. You better hope you can get one. Okay. In any case, they're kind of being good about it here in Oregon. Well, I shouldn't say Oregon, in Lane County anyway. I like the fact that when I go to the hospital, they niggas standing outside taking your temperature and shit like that, and they won't let you in there. If you got a temperature, what they do is they take your ass to the restaurant, to the hospital, to the hospital that do take care of COVID patients, which is the one here at River Bend, and that's in Springfield. So that's part of the reason why when something is wrong with me, I go to Cottage Grove or Sacred Heart. Because I know those two, if your ass got COVID, they gonna ship your ass to River Bend. So you're not coming in there with me. I go in there because my arm is hurting and I come out that motherfucker with COVID-19. Nigga, please. In any case, y'all ain't killing me. So, but I wanted to talk about this. Oh, and just in case I didn't say it before, I'm in front of a laundromat, so that's why you hear all of this cars and shit like that. I might have to cut this short because I have to go back in there and get my clothes out right about now. So I'm gonna put this on pause. I'll be right back. Okay, y'all, I'm back. I had to change my shit from the washers to the dryers. And it made me think of a funny story that happened when I was a little boy. Not that little, but little enough. When my sister had done something mean to me. But what made me think of this story was when I went in to see my laundry or to move it from machine to machine, it was in the spin cycle. And the machines at this place, the washing machines are side loaders, which means you put it in the same way you would put it in the dryer, except for a wash is that way too. And I don't wash in public washing machines. I don't feel comfortable just leaving my clothes all out there in the dryer, in the washer, in the dryer all willy-nilly and shit, even though it's a mechanism to clean shit. So what I do is I have laundry bags that I put my shit in. That way I don't lose anything. I don't forget anything. And I just let the shit wash while they're in the laundry. That way I don't need one of those carts where you roll your wet clothes over to the dryer. I just take the bag out and just take it to the next one. They're safe in the washer and dryer. Today I have four of those bags. So when it was in the spin cycle, because one of those bags had denim shit in it, that side of the washing machine was the heaviest. So when it's in the spin cycle and this thing goes like super fast, like I was floored by how fast this thing was going. But because one side is heavier than the rest of the sides, it shakes so hard that the whole line of washing machines was shaking because of mine having that one, that, you know, that denim on one side, cotton on the other side, you know, in the, doing the thing in the washing machine. And so it almost jumped off the floor. It was that going that quick. Here's the story. I don't remember what she did, but my sister did. So I'll have to call her and find out from her. She's actually going to be on the show next week. Well, we're going to record it next week. Don't mean it's going to be launched next week or go live next week. We're just going to record it next week. And me and her are starting our own podcast that's going to come out either once a month or once a quarter called Sibling Rivalry. So stay tuned for that. But I can't remember what she did to me. I don't even remember how old I was. I just remember that this happened. So I'll probably have to bring it up while she's on the show so she can jog my memory. But I made her wet the bed one night. And when I did it, it was funny, but afterwards I felt bad. So she had done something mean to me, and I can't remember if I got hurt or it scared me or what, but I devised a little plan that I was going to get her back. I was going to scare the shit out of her. She can look at horror movies now, but as like a 12, 13, 14, I don't know how old she was. She did not like horror movies. She hated them. She avoided them. Ghost stories, slashers, shit, all of that. Psychological, she avoided it all. So after she had done whatever she did mean to me, I became MacGyver up in that motherfucker. I took, and her bed was next to the wall, which was next to a window. Okay. Her bedroom door opens from the outside of the door. So most doors open from the inside. Hers open from the outside. So I can't believe I did this. So I see I'm gonna scare the shit out of her when she get ready to go to bed. So because her bed was on the wall with the window. There's an electrical socket right at the head of the bed, behind where she put her head at, under the, up against the what is that thing called? The headrest, the backrest, the bed back, whatever that thing is called, it goes to the back of the headboard. So I hid under her bed. Before this, she has a floor mop. she had a floor model fan in her room. So because I was up against the headboard that had the electrical outlet, I had the fan turned to the on position, but it was unplugged. I took two of the blades out of the fan and put it on high, so it was unplugged waiting for me under the bed. The lamp that she had next to her bed, I unplugged that as well. She has, okay, so you know how most bedrooms have a light on, you know, on the ceiling, which you use you use your finger like it has a flip switch. Well, that was on, and the light next to her bed was on. So that was under the bed, you know, on the headboard. So underneath the bed, where I could unplug that when I needed to. So those three. Oh, and then the last thing I did was I tied a piece of nylon, you know, like fishing line. I think that's what fishing line is made of. Whatever fishing line is made out of, I took some of my daddy's and tied it around the bottom of her door. And then I wound it around the side of her room so it would be barely noticeable when she came in. So all of this shit is waiting for me under her bed. So she come to the bed to go to sleep. Mommy came and, you know, told her good night and everything, and left the door open but turned the light off that was over her head. So I don't know what Sherilyn does before she goes to sleep. But she was in there and she was laying down in the bed. I don't know if she was getting ready to read a book. I don't know. All I know is I was under the bed waiting for her motherfucking ass. So when it got quiet in the house and everything, I tried to say in my best Freddy Krueger voice, "I got your ass now, bitch." And then I pulled the nylon, which made the door slam. Oh shit. So I made her door slam shut, and then I pulled the electrical socket for the light that was next to her bed. So the door slammed and the lights went out. And then I plugged in that fan with the three blades in it. And you know, if a fan only got three blades in it and it's on high, it'll start hopping up and down. So it started hopping up and down, getting closer to her bed. And she pissed on herself and ran out and started hollering and crying for mommy. And I got the hell beat out of me that day. She whooped my motherfucking ass. Hey, remember how the last story was about how I whooped that boy that I thought was being racist to me? That was where I learned that shit from. My mama whooped my ass all over that house. Do you hear me? Oh my God. In any case, it's all good. But I remember that story. Yeah, I scared the shit out of Sherilyn. She probably don't even remember. I don't even know if I should bring it up to her, because she might be still mad about it. In any case, that's beside the point. Anyway, for the rest of the podcast, I just wanted to finish my thoughts about Donald Trump and the COVID. Here is my thoughts, because everybody's on Twitter and Facebook and all that shit posting what they think about it. And here's what I think. I have tried, a lot of people, more people than I ever would have guessed, are especially from the Democratic liberal side, or people who have been hurt by this man or by his policies or something that he has done while he was in office, are finding empathy for him. We're sorry for him. We're glad he's getting help and all that type of shit, and don't wish death on the president and all the type of shit. Here's my thing. And that's not everybody. There's a lot of people who are cheering it on. There's a lot of people who are, I hope the nigga die. Fuck Trump. I don't give a fuck. Fuck him. And I'm like in the middle. I hate him. I never knew what hate was until this motherfucker became president. My mother taught me not to hate. I hate him. Hate him. I have said on countless podcasts that I don't understand the concept of hate, because most of the time when we're talking about it, we're talking about white supremacy and white folks' unwarranted hate of black people, especially when the pockets of the country where the most hate groups are and where the most hate comes from are places where there are no black people. So they don't even know us, but they hate us. And I can't figure that shit out. What did we do to them? Because black folks have never done anything to white folks to make them hate us so much that they would start terrorist organizations to kill us. Think about that. We've never started a terrorist organization. People might say that about the Black Panthers, but the Black Panthers wasn't out there targeting white folks. They were protecting black folks. There's a difference. So I never understood the concept of hate, and I still don't. But hating Donald Trump, I thought maybe it would help me understand hate better, but it doesn't, because my hate for Donald Trump comes from somewhere. Like, I have a foundation for it. There's a reason why I hate him. He's done stuff to me. He's done stuff to people to make them hate him. Please point to the thing that black folks or Latino folks or Asian folks or indigenous folks done to mostly straight white folks, straight white men, but straight white folks, because women are a large part of it too. What we did to them to make them hate us. They brought us here. They subjugated us. They oppressed us. And now they hate us. And part of it, and this might be the answer, I don't know. But part of it, I think, is the fear that they think we're going to try to get retaliation. Ain't no niggas out here thinking about retaliation. If we was going to retaliate, we'd have did that shit already. And I feel like a lot of the reason why some white folks hate Antifa is because that's what retaliation looks like to them. They just weren't expecting it to be from white folks. They were expecting it to be from black folks. That's the difference. But how do I feel about Donald Trump getting the COVID? At first, I was like, I hope the motherfucker dies. And something about it didn't sit right with me. And it's not that I don't hope he die. It's that I want to see him held accountable for the shit that he has done. And if he dies, that will never happen. I need to see them marching his monkey ass to Sing Sing in handcuffs. I need to see him being punished in some kind of way for the shit that he has done. And if he dies, we will never get that. And I'm glad that he got it. I'm glad that he get to suffer through medically, because when other people said, this thing is real, we need help, please help us, he was like, I don't give a damn. I'm not going to get it. So why the fuck am I help you? You ain't nobody. You don't got all these millions, which we know he doesn't have via the New York Times report. But you are nobody to him. He don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? But now that it's his turn, everybody turning the, flipping the script and saying, oh, it's a shame that he got, I don't give a fuck. Let him suffer. Let him medically suffer. But I want him to get well. And the reason why I want him to get well is because like a good 90% of everybody who recovers still has something wrong with them. Like they still have the liver function that ain't working right, or their heart not ticking properly, or something like that. And it wouldn't bother me if he lived the rest of his life with some type of ailment, because there are 12,000 people who don't even have that chance. They'll never get that chance again because they're gone for good. And that happened on his watch. And he could have did some shit and he said, fuck that, I'm not doing anything. And I kind of want him to live because I want to see if this changes his tune. It's already too late because motherfuckers are casting ballots already. But I'm curious to see if it would change his tune. And right now it don't look like it is. But here's my thing. Here's my thing. When black people are murdered in this country, every time it happens, or most of the time it happened and that we're notified about it, black folks are outraged. And it hurts. It hurts us in our heart because we know that that person is a surrogate for us. We know that whoever it was that was murdered this time could have easily been us. We could have been that person. because we shared a characteristic that got that person killed. So when that shit happened in Dallas, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but I want to say it was 2015, 2014, sometime like that. I don't remember. I don't have the article in front of me. But when they were in Dallas and somebody was shooting the police, and they later discovered it was some former black army man or Marine or something like that. Somebody black killed like 5 police in Dallas on the same night. Y'all should remember this. It was a big story when it happened. I was like, good. That's what they get. This is why they need to stop fucking with black folks, because they do this shit to us with impunity and there's never any kind of penalty for it. They just get to kill black folks. So fuck them. I'm glad they died. Fuck them 5 cops. I hope he get more. That type of shit. But you know what? That didn't sit right with me either. And it's not that I felt bad. Well, no, I did feel bad about it, because I'm thinking to myself, these 5 people that this motherfucker shot had nothing to do with the murders of black folks at the hand of police. So how can I sit here and celebrate? This shit don't feel right. They were not responsible. So now we just compounded the problem by taking out more innocent people. And it didn't sit right with me. And the same way that I thought that I would be appreciative of that, of them getting killed like that, and not being able to be appreciative of it, is the same way I feel about Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm not bothered that he has COVID, but I don't necessarily want him to die. I would rather see him go to jail. I would rather see because I told y'all, if the motherfucker goes to jail, I am having a sentencing party at my house. The only thing is, we gonna have to do is gonna have to be socially distanced. That's how we're gonna take care of that. So what I need is for y'all to hit me up, and we're gonna do the sentencing party and all of that type of shit. And the reason why I got a little tongue-tied when I was talking just now is because there's a motherfucker, I told y'all I'm at the laundromat, and there's a motherfucker that just passed by my window. You might have heard the footsteps, because there's some rocks over there. And he stopped to look at me while I was talking, and I didn't know what to say. And I'm looking at him ask somebody else for money and hope that the motherfucker don't come back. So in any case, I can't feel good about wishing death on anybody. Not even that much. As much as I hate him, I can't wish death on him or anybody. And I would rather the situation play itself out, that he get held accountable, he goes on trial, he is found guilty, he is put in jail. I'd rather see it. And if he died, we would not have a chance to have a referendum on this motherfucker. We would not have a chance to vote him out in historic numbers, letting him and the Republican Party know that the shit that they doing, we don't accept. Now, the other thing about that is, and people get mad at me for saying this, it fucked me up how some people are surprised that I used to be a Republican. And I can tell you right now, and I think I said it on a show maybe 3 years ago, the reason why I stopped being a Republican, or the moment that I left the Republican Party. And it was, please don't be who I think you are. Somebody just pulled up in the parking lot and I'm praying it ain't who I think it is. Nope, it's not, thank goodness. In any case, the reason why I left the Republican Party is when they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. That was when I was fucking done. I got tired of being lied to. Every time you turn around, you being lied to about something. And black folks in the Republican Party will stand for a motherfucking lie. Yes, they will. Colin Powell, who I adore this man. I know he wasn't the best politician in the world or whatever, but I adore Colin Powell. I think he was a great black man. I think he's a great leader, but he was wrong. Okay, so they had the Iraq war and all that type of shit, right? It was under Bush watch. Nobody trusted Bush. Nobody trusted Cheney. Nobody trusted the generals. Everybody trusted Colin Powell. So guess who they sent to the UN? They sent Colin Powell up that motherfucker with a lie. Okay? They made him the liar. And here's the reason why I respect Colin Powell. Because even though he was the one who delivered that news and it was a lie, as soon as he found out he had been lied to, he left that position. He left the, he didn't leave the Republican Party, but he left that position. That's when Condoleezza Rice took over. Okay? So at least he had the integrity to do that. But then another motherfucker who stood for a lie in the Republican Party is motherfucking Herman Cain. He died. He paid for his with his life. But he stood for a lie. He stood for a lie. He stood for that COVID is a hoax, all that type of shit. Went to motherfucking Trump's shit with no mask on. And now his motherfucking ass is tweeting from beyond the grave. I don't know how the fuck he's doing it, but every once in a while, Herman Cain sends up a tweet from hell, except down there, instead of the text plan being the 999, it's the 666. I didn't know hell had Wi-Fi, but it must do, because his ass is sure tweeting from that motherfucker, okay? And then another motherfucker, another black man who's standing for a lie in the Republican Party. This nigga from Kentucky, the one, the Breonna Taylor Attorney General nigga, that Daniel Cameron, he's standing for a lie. He about to lose all his little career. Watch it. I'm not going to say no more about it. Just watch what happens in the next few months. That's all I got to say about that. The motherfucker lied so much that a person who's on the who was on the grand jury turned his ass in. A grand jury is supposed to be secret. But a person said, this nigga didn't do it right. I need this shit to be on the public record. And baby, they put the shit on the public record. And Daniel Cameron is going to pay. Now, this is what I have to say. The reason why I brought all that up. I believe that the Republican Party is right now going through Get Out. If you've seen the movie Get Out, you know that it's about a black man who is subjugated by white folks, where his body's taken over so that the white person can live in his body past the time that they are supposed to die. It's called a lobotomy or some shit like that. And in order to take over his body, they had to put the black man in the sunken place. Well, I believe that's what's happening to the Republican Party right now. They are in the sunken place while Donald Trump and his regime are at the head of the controls. And I believe every once in a while we see the real Republican Party. I believe that a camera flash and we see a flash of the real Republican Party. And Colin Powell was one of those flashes. Everybody else is sucking Trump's dick. Colin Powell went to the DNC. Now, this nigga did not renounce his Republican affiliation. He's still a Republican. But I believe he is a real Republican. And he's like, this shit that they doing over in the Republic, that's not Republican. That's some Donald Trump shit. That's some other shit. I don't know what to call it, but it's not I'm a Republican. So that's why I haven't discounted the Republicans altogether. I will say this. Me, Effington, I will never vote Republican again. I'm done. They just lied to me too many motherfuckers. I'm tired of it. But this is just to say, I'm not celebrating Donald Trump dying if he does die. I want him to live. I want him to face justice. I want him to lose in a landslide. I still think that he can kiss my entire ass. I still hate him. I still hate his wife. America's Next Top Hooker can go be on the Hooker channel for, I guess USA is basically the Hooker channel now. She can go be on there, have a TV show on that, you know, and pull trees out of rose gardens and shit like that. And she should have never been first. Don't get me started on her. In any case, I said everything that I need to say. I want to hear what you got to say. This show was not supposed to be this motherfucking long. It was supposed to be 5 minutes tops. And here I am at however long, 20, 25 minutes. In any case, don't forget to subscribe to the show. You can find the show on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, wherever podcasts can be found, you'll find us. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. To all the people who have recently been subscribing to the show, thank you very much. There has been 6 new subscriptions over the past week. That's like a record. Normally like 1 or 2 people are trickling in every now and again, but that's fucking amazing to me. Trying to make sure I don't forget anything. Just hit me up on Facebook, y'all. Don't forget to visit the website at thegreatdivide.us. There ain't too much shit on it right now because I've been busy with other shit. And you'll notice that this show came out maybe 4 or 5 days after the show before this, and the show before that came out 4 or 5 days after the show before that. In other words, I'm trying to be a lot more consistent with me putting out these shows, because new things is happening here in podcast land. And like I say, get ready for the change. We're going to change the name of the show. It's going to be rebranded. In any case, I have talked long enough, and I'm hoping to goodness my clothes are dry by now, so I can take my ass in there, get them, and go the fuck home and enjoy the rest of my weekend. So until next time, I'll catch you on the flip side. But I'm cold.